I don't think it's a good sign that you almost have to force happiness when we begin.
I am a depressed man. Let me be happy. Oh, the podcast makes me happy. It's forcing the happiness. I'm not forcing the happiness. The podcast is forcing the happiness out of me.
I don't know if that was better than what I said.
It's perception. Do you think so? It's perception.
Can you tell me what this is, though?
This is the Weirdzilla podcast.
Wow, he's on board.
Two friends from the internet get together every other week and talk about weird stories from around the world. I mean, you have a better intro than that written down.
That's okay. I kind of threw that to you, and I wasn't sure if you were going to run with it or not. I admire your attempt. But indeed, Marcus, this is the Weirdzilla podcast. It is a very casual. We're so casual, you wouldn't even believe it. We're a biweekly podcast. We discuss bizarre, just slightly disturbing things, silly things, if you will, for all of those homeschoolers out there like myself. But we do it all for the possible outcome of entertainment. Are you entertained?
I am entertained. My goal is to change that from slightly to very disturbing over the course of the podcast. A gradual boiling of the frog. You know what I mean? That's all they don't jump out.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Will you announce when we've reached that point, or will it be like an unspoken understanding between?
When we've reached that point, we will change the intro to say very disturbing instead of slightly disturbing. That's it.
So, okay. So you're just saying a barely acknowledged.
Yeah.
Situation.
Okay, good. It hasn't changed yet.
Okay, well, good. Well, even when it does, we're not going to acknowledge it. That was everything that we just said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to talk about something that you didn't seem super excited about, but I really was. So we're going to talk about that in a second, but we have two.
Wow,
way
to call me out.
That's right.
Immediately off the top.
I'm not even going to let you respond. I'm not going to let you respond because you also know what time it is. We did the intro. We got fake excited. It's time for the haiku.
Oh, man, haiku time. Okay, hold on. Let me put on my thinking cap. Because haikus are for big brains only, and I need to put on my big brain.
Jokes aside, I'm still not sure if you genuinely hate this or not, so I'm
I don't
just
hate
keep
it
doing it.
I
okay,
love
good.
It
I'm just saying
okay, I don't know what go. People okay. think let us know what you think of our haikus. 5 stars in the podcast review.
Yeah we already got a haiku review, so someone else do a haiku review part two. You know who nice. You are. You ready
mm-hmm.
You ready? Okay. Company coming and your house is a big mess. Just put on lipstick.
Wow.
What do you think?
That's genius. I mean, not only is that art, but that's also great advice.
Okay.
It's a distraction from the noise around you, from the mess, the clutter. You put on some lipstick, people are drawn to your face. And you're like, look at me. Don't look at my mess. Look how beautiful and luscious my lips are.
I have been noticing your lips recently.
Thank you. Don't notice the mess in the background. I have beautiful lipstick on now. Just look here.
Okay, the haiku's done. We had our haiku moment. I hope you're happy.
Yeah.
You specifically, Marcus. I didn't say my name. I'm Josh. You're also Marcus. We're here to party. But haikus aside,
yeah,
it's
we
not
have
messing around.
We have a story segment, right?
We have a story. It's the part of the podcast where we awkwardly but very casually stumble into our most famous segment.
And it's called
It Came From Inside the House.
That was better. Now it's worse. Now it's better.
When should I have stopped?
About 3.75 seconds ago.
I think I blacked out. Okay. So our favorite segment, It Came From Inside the House. This is where we encourage you, the listener. You know who you are, sitting there.
The one listener.
In your bedroom, listening to the podcast. We encourage you.
Steven.
Steven Spielberg, for some reason. We encourage you to email in a strange, bizarre, silly, frustrating, bitter story from your own personal life that we can read on air. We can read it anonymous. We don't have to say a name, but we encourage you to do it. You can do that at weirdzillapodcast@gmail.com.
Beautiful.
Good.
My mom sent a story that I need to send email on her behalf. She just texted it to me. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll get it on the podcast. And I keep forgetting to send it to our email address. Sorry, Mom.
We need to do that.
Love you.
Oh, we need to do that on our very mom-themed episode.
Hell yeah.
Which will definitely happen. Okay. All right. So today we have an entry from Brandon. I had you choose between two men and you chose Brandon. Okay. So it's not as long as Alan's, who cards on the table, did reach out to me and let me know that he was very frustrated that we shortened his story because he took the time to type it out. So you can go back and try to listen to Alan's story. All right. Let us enter the world of Brandon. Last week, this was June 27th, by the way. Last week, I was at an apartment viewing, and the girl showing me the apartment and I got into some extended conversation. We talked for a while about various topics, kind of getting to know each other more on a personal level. Nothing weird, just two people talking about life and such. She's been telling me about her boyfriend. Uh-oh. How great her relationship is. All good stuff. Very happy for her. I'm happy in my own relationship as well. And that was also mentioned. So we both have made it a point to bring that information to the forefront in some way or another.
Okay, hold on. Before you continue.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is just a man. We are now this man's alibi because he got in trouble at home for flirting with the real estate agent. And now he's like, oh, I clearly mentioned my girlfriend. And now he's going to tell his girlfriend to listen to this episode. I see you. And you know what?
Should we stop?
We'll be anyone's alibi.
Oh,
just leave us five stars.
That's right. Oh, no. Okay. All right. As we are wrapping up, she then says that she thinks I'm pretty cool and that we could even be friends because her boyfriend doesn't care or mind stuff like that. She says, yeah, I tell him all the time if I saw a guy that was hot today and he's cool about it. Dramatic pause on my end here. Just to let that sink
also
in.
He worked into his own story that someone called him hot. Who is this person?
I definitely don't know who this person is. I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry this person, but
yeah, totally not. I'm nodding my head, letting her keep talking. Why? I don't really know why. Then she said, we could be friends. Honestly, I love my boyfriend to death. But if I was single and you were single, I'd, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It's not over yet. I'm letting the drop.
I do want our listeners to be aware this is called Weirdzilla, not Awkwardzilla.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Send in your weird stories, not your awkward stories.
Dude, we're in the thick of it now.
If she's not a ghost at the end of this, I'm going to be angry.
You're probably going to be angry. I don't know how to respond to this because I might really want this apartment. So I don't want to be rude, but also I don't want to affirm mutual feelings on the matter. So what do I do? I keep nodding and smiling and let her finish. Hopefully she will say something else that I can respond to instead of that awkward thing she most recently said to me. Well, she doesn't. She stops. So in an effort not to allow an awkward silence, I change gears instantly and just say, well, all right, let me think about the place a little more as I begin walking toward the door, hoping she will follow me and we can escape outside, dodging the conversation altogether. How should that kind of situation be handled? The discomfort was very unsettling, and I wasn't ready for her to say something like that at all.
I think that was an awkward situation to be in for sure. Don't know if I would call it weird. Definitely awkward. I think in that situation, I would probably, I guess he is in a relationship, so he did all he could. I would go leave for a second, like, sorry, I need to call my girlfriend and ask her. You leave, you call your girlfriend and say, hey, the real estate agent's flirting with me. I do want you to know this. She's on the move. But this apartment is fucking sweet. So
yeah, two bathrooms, one and a half bath.
Exactly. So if you're down for it, I could try to get us a discount on rent.
Wow. You'd be willing to take that bullet is what he'd say.
I would take that bullet if it needed to be taken.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
A real manly stance. That's pretty good.
If my girlfriend said it was okay.
Listen, life is all about compromises and making things happen for the betterment of the family, you know, the nuclear family. So you got to do what you got to do. Decisions will be made.
Hell yeah.
Brandon, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for that riveting Yeah, that's good stuff. Okay, all right. Are we ready? Are we ready for the main course?
I am ready together? For the main course. Man, I feel like that was an example of what I didn't want to happen with this episode. You called me out earlier and you said, you were like, hey, man, you were butthurt about this camping topic. And I was like, I just don't know what's weird about camping.
Oh, my gosh. So, okay.
But now I'm excited because okay. I want to learn. I found some stuff, but it's not that weird. But I do want to know.
You're not a believer.
I'm not a believer.
You didn't open your mind to the endless possibilities. Mm-mm. So today, for the next couple minutes, this evening, wherever you're at, as I take a drink of my Keurig coffee, we're going to be talking about camping. We're going to be talking about wilderness type experiences, what happens in the wild when anyone's around. If a bear poops in the woods, does anyone hear it type of stuff? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I have a question. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I have a question. Okay. Why are you drinking coffee at 10 p.m.?
Because I'm a tired boy. Okay. And it's in the evening and I want to be alert for the podcast. Okay. I want to give you my best. Also, it's 9 p.m. here. Late as you think it is. So that made it worse on my end.
That's fair. Okay. And it's not decaf? That's crazy, man. You'd be up all night.
Shut up. I sleep.
I'm just saying. Right, I care enough, about you and I want you to take care of yourself.
I don't need a freaking intervention. Talk to Brandon. All right. So before we dive into this, I just have a true... I wrote us just a tiny, tiny intro to get us in the zone. But to open, I have a true or false statement for you.
Okay.
Camping. It's the final frontier. True or false?
False, because space is the final frontier. Everyone knows this.
I really thought you were going to have my back. All right, here's my intro. Camping. It's the final frontier. Where dreamers go to escape the mundaneness of a 9-to-5. Whether to the mountains above or a valley below. Let's pack a bag. Let's go.
Was that another haiku?
No, that was just, I don't know.
I wasn't counting the syllables.
I'm assuming it was not
5-7-5. If you're going to read a haiku, at least learn the structure of a haiku.
I politely decline. Okay, so since it kind of sounds like you dropped a ball or two on this one.
100% in your vibe, I did.
In preparation.
Should I start then? So we get the worst one out of the way?
Do you want me to take the lead and just kind of go with what I have and you interject with what you think may fit? Or you can go first. I'm open. This is an adventure.
I will go first because
I'm so ready.
I want to see what you have. And I feel like it's nice to dip your toe in the water to start off, right? And I feel like mine is more of a dip of the toe.
Would you like me to possibly start with an even better dip of the toe with a quick 1-to-5 list of how to camp for beginners?
No, this is not an episode about how to camp. This is an episode on weird camping stories. I'm not trying to help anyone.
I have those too.
What hat are you wearing? Are you wearing a fucking baitfish tackle
listen,
shop
listen.
Hat?
If anyone's the beta fish here, it's you. Start with your tails.
What is the hat that I got?
It's none of your business.
Is it a fishing hat?
Yo, my family's asleep. We gotta keep going.
Okay. I'm gonna read this. Are you ready? 25 weird and disturbing, strange camping gear.
Gear?
Yeah, gear for camping.
Why did you do this?
Because I didn't know what was weird about camping, Josh, and I was struggling.
I'm disappointed. Go ahead.
Number one, the bumper dumper. Sorry. Oh, man. It's a portable toilet seat and bucket that fits to your toe hitch so you can sit down in the back of your car and take a roadside dump.
I think I've seen these before.
I've never been camping, but I guess this is one way of taking care of business.
Interesting.
I want to go camping.
You've never been.
Another item on the list. Field candy patterned tents. So these are A-frame tents that are camouflage to look like You're just in a field of sheep. And it works perspective-wise. It works. If you're in the distance and you're looking in the field, you're like, wow, all I see is just the field and some sheep. It's great stuff.
Okay.
Here's another one.
You're really, never mind.
A man can portable beer keg. It's a single wall keg that you can carry with you on the road for the alcoholics that like to hike. I mean, I guess that's who likes to hike. Just saying. Because what else are you going to do, Lewis, other than get drunk? Next one on the list. Glow-in-the-dark toilet paper. That one makes sense to me. That seems dope as fuck.
Is it rubber?
What do you mean rubber? Glow-in-the-dark? Why would it be rubber?
How does it glow in the dark?
Oh, it's just chemicals. They spray chemicals on it and glows in the dark.
That goes in your butt?
100%.
That's...
And finally, one more thing. Are you ready?
Yes.
The off-road Segway. The king of transportation. The greatest of both worlds.
Okay.
Not only will you be able to hike up a mountain, but you'll have to carry a 300-pound Segway with you.
For the sake of enjoying Mother Nature as it was intended to be.
This thing looks like a fucking tank. It's okay. Wonderful. The wheels are ginormous. And still, I swear, someone's going to fall off of it. I don't know if you know this, but the creator of Segway drove his Segway off a cliff to test its like balance or its, I forgot what it was. It's stopping power. He died doing that. And then someone said, I will prevent more deaths with this device. And they improved the Segway. So off-road Segway. Sponsor us if you're listening.
We
will sell the shit out of some off-road Segways.
Brandon would buy at least two of them.
Yeah, because he's going to be running away from all the real estate agents who are trying to sleep with him.
He could probably sell some to that realtor. What else you got? Was that it?
That's what I have.
That's all you have?
There's a suspender. No, I have more articles. Okay. That was my first article. There's some suspenders for keeping your pants on while you poop.
All right. Can I hop in here?
You can hop in and do your story.
Okay. No, and I don't mean to belittle you. I apologize. That's not my
thank you.
Not my intention.
Please be big me instead of belittling me.
Okay. Well, so a little different approach here. I'm just gonna go ahead and start going off. So camping is an interesting thing. I haven't been in about 6 or so years. I never was an enthusiast, if you might say. I would much rather have a bed. But anyway, so I did a little bit of digging, and I found I said, man, if I was in the wilderness surrounded by Mother Nature and the wild beasts of the land, I feel like I'd get attacked. So obviously, how common are animal attacks if you're out hiking, sleeping amongst the stars? And of course, the internet says, for days people who go camping in a year, the chances of being attacked is less than 0.002.98%, or 1 in 58 million. If we only take into consideration the 73 recorded deaths, the probability is closer to 1 in 793 million of fatal bear attacks.
That said fatal bear attacks. Other
that
animals
was really specific
can,
to bear attacks.
Other animals can attack you, okay? I think this is propaganda, first of all, from the national parks. I think they're out here trying to lie and lower the numbers of deaths from animals, from other people, like suicide numbers, whatever. I think they're trying to lower the numbers so that way people will continue to go to national parks.
Okay. Well, so my follow-up question to your propaganda conspiracy theorists, we didn't land on the moon.
I'll answer all your questions. About this conspiracy theory I made up right now.
If it's not about that. We're moving on from that. If it wasn't a bear that was attacking your groin while you were sleeping on the ground amongst the stars, what would you rather be attacked by in the wild?
What would I rather be attacked by?
Yeah, what's your go-to, you know?
Sasquatch, probably.
Why?
Because he's very, like, he's a very sexual creature. So I imagine that, like, he would come in and, like, try to make out, maybe a little hand job or something.
Hang on. Before you get too carried away here, are you saying that's the first move or after he tries to rip your arms off?
No, what? He is a peaceful creature who's just looking for some tail. That's what I believe Bigfoot is. As a very tall man myself, with big feet, size 14 shoes, I could say I resonate with Bigfoot. Okay? He's just lonely out there in the woods looking for someone to cuddle up with at night.
You're projecting yourself onto Sasquatch.
I am not. That's for me and my therapist to discuss, okay?
So good. And I'm going to let you do it. Hang on. Okay. So bear attacks. You want Sasquatch to make love to you. Okay.
100%.
Well, so amongst bear attacks and animal attacks and freak accidents, you might be saying, Josh, well, obviously the next question is how many campers go missing every year? And I'd like to say to you, well, sir, I have an answer for you. And it goes like this. According to National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, more than 600,000 persons go missing in the United States every year.
Oh, yes.
Well, hang on. More than 600,000 persons go missing in the United States every year. Anywhere between 89% to 92% of those missing people are recovered every year, either alive or deceased. But how many of those disappear in the wild is unclear. Neither the Department of the Interior, which oversees the National Park Service, or the Department of Agricultural's U.S. Forest Services keeps track. Strangely, the most reliable info on missing people in the wild comes from Bigfoot hunters.
In
2011, David, I'm going to pronounce his last name wrong, founder of the North America Bigfoot Search, launched a database of wildland disappearances that occurred under mysterious circumstances. From his research, there are at least 1,600 people, give or take, currently missing in the wild somewhere in the United States.
That's crazy. I mean, I think that number is also higher, but
okay.
I do want to make a point. Bigfoot hunters are very scary people, and the main reason I probably don't go camping is because I don't want to be mistaken for Bigfoot and get shot.
Yeah, and you most likely would be too.
100%. 100%.
And I leave your need I leave for big empathy footprints. And cuddles.
Yeah. Yes, they'll sense my weakness.
Okay, I have one more thing. Can I have one more thing before you?
One more thing. No, I was going to continue about your thing.
Oh, you go ahead. Keep going. Sorry.
I was going to say I actually had a friend that went missing during a hike, and I mean it's been years since they've gone missing, so everyone has, you know, moved on. There was a funeral and everything. So it happens, man. I feel like it's more common than they're letting on.
Who's they?
The conspiracy that I have, the government, the National Parks Association.
Leslie Knope's Parks and Rec.
Hell yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, it's weird, but you want to know what's even weirder than that before you take the reins here. Is the next follow-up question under that is, can you die in a tent?
100% you could die in a tent. I feel like...
Without?
I saw a picture while doing research, and I saw an alligator outside of a tent. One, why are you camping near where there's alligators? Don't do that.
Gators afoot.
Yeah, but that was terrifying. I was like, that gator's just going to get in your fucking tent.
He's going to gator his way in. Well, this says, without proper ventilation, it's possible that carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide could build up in a tent, ultimately resulting in ill effects and, in extreme causes, suffocation. The lack of oxygen in a tent is determined by several factors, such as too many people, lack of airflow, weather conditions, and more.
I didn't even think about that. That you could just die in a tent.
You could just die in a tent.
That's fucked up.
You can either die from a bear, overcuddled by Sasquatch, or suffocate in a tent. You get to choose.
Or shot by Bigfoot hunters like my fate will be.
by Big Cuz, the Bigfoot hunter. All right, you're up. What do you got? What do you have to share with me? One up, okay. My dying in a tent.
I will make a little note. I'm not going to read the whole article, but I looked up violent deaths in national parks, and they, it basically said that they did some research. This is old, so the numbers might have increased since then. But basically, they said that there were like 11 deaths of the 273 million visitors that toured the parks. Only 11 deaths were investigated.
Repeat that.
It says, during 2006, when 273 million visitors toured the parks, 11 deaths were investigated across the system. So that leads me to believe that 11 deaths were investigated. This article is basically bragging, like, oh, only 11 deaths had to be investigated. I read it as...
we got away with the rest.
Yeah, I read it as you only did the work on 11 of the deaths to really find out what happened. But yeah, a few people, DUI accidents, people being pushed off cliffs. Violence, people robbing other camping sites and stuff like that.
Oh.
A little scary. Okay, but that's not my article. I just wanted to bring that up since we're talking about this. I went to Reddit because I was like, I want to find weird camping stories.
Most logical place to go.
Right? And so I found a weird one here. I found a couple weird ones. They're short.
So
I'll read two. Hopefully they're not the same ones.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I have 10.
Holy shit. Okay, right. So then I can read mine.
I have options.
Few years ago, I was camping in the Everglades. That's where people go to camp with the Gators. You don't want to camp in the Everglades. That sounds dumb.
Camp Gator. They're taking resumes and eating feets.
I was camping in the Everglades in Florida with a few friends. We all had gone into our separate tents and were starting to fall asleep. The area was pretty noisy with bugs, crickets, birds, etc. I heard this very low vibration, sounding almost like a low roar. It was powerful enough to vibrate in my chest. Suddenly, everything in the forest shut up. No bugs, no birds, nothing. About 30 seconds later, my phone vibrates, and it's my friend in the other tent texting me, asking if I heard the same thing. The four of us kept texting each other, wondering what it was. About 10 minutes later, all the animals slowly started making noise again. I slept that night with my machete at arm's reach.
That's dope.
Edit. They made an amendment to this. A lot of people are saying it might have been a gator. We were in an elevated area that was far from any streams or ponds. It's possible there might have been a pond with a gator that we missed, but the very big ones tend to hang out in lakes. And I'm looking at it, and everyone is like, that was a gator. That was a gator.
Right.
Honestly.
What do you think it was?
I mean, it could have been Bigfoot, but I don't think
he... Swamp Squatch?
Swamp Squatch. Oh, shit. We just created a new cryptid. Swamp Squatch.
Oh, he's... He's already out. There's already a Swamp Squatch. What is he called? He's called I remember seeing him on Monster Quest. Shut up. Continue talking.
Okay. Swamp Squatch is protecting Floridian campers from gators.
As he must.
Duty. Okay. I have one more. My dad and I found a dead camper in Yellowstone when I was 5 or 6. By the way, back to the article. Do you think it was a gator? What do you think it was?
Here's the thing. Swamp Squatch is always a possibility, so never rule that out. Man, where gators be, you know? They're always creeping around, looking to chomp their jaws and, you know, open wide and maybe let you touch their teeth, but then maybe also bite your arm off. They're always doing carnival tricks like that. So other than that, could be a snake.
Could be a snake. Or the wind.
Or the wind. Never rule out the wind.
Okay. My dad and I found a dead camper in Yellowstone when I was 5 or 6.
Oh.
We were walking, throwing stones into the lake. It was like every feel-good vacation movie you've ever seen. Then we saw this guy slumped against a tree. At first, we didn't think much of it, but it was getting cold and dark, and my dad didn't want the guy to fall asleep. and wake up unable to find his way back to camp. So my dad and I started walking towards him, but the closer we got, the worse it smelled. Not like rotting flesh, but like shit. Literally shit. My dad told me to stay back, and he walked over to the guy and asked him if he was okay. No response. He asked again. No response. My dad then tapped the guy's shoulder, and the body made a sort of crunching noise that fell slightly to the side. Oh, as it fell slightly to its side. When this happened, the guy's hat fell off. Because of the way the guy had been slanted, it was like all the blood had gone out of half the guy's face and pooled on the other side. One eye was completely red, possibly from a burst blood vessel. My dad rushed over to meet me and took me back to the Camp Ranger's fort place. He had me stay with some nice lady whom I remembered looked distinctly like Big Bird. Another ranger and a paramedic who was on site to the body. It wasn't a horrifying, oh my god, I got attacked by a bear type scenario, but it was pretty scary being a secluded area far away from home and finding a dead body.
So what was the crunching sound all about?
I don't know. It doesn't say. I think I've never seen, I have seen a dead body in person. I've never been close to a dead body in person.
Are all of these excluding funerals?
Yes.
You good?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm good. We, okay. I can tell the story real quick. It is weird, Zilla. Where else am I going to tell this story?
I don't know. Yeah, why not?
Basically, I've been working in Times Square for like 6 years, and every once in a while, there is like someone who like breaks into an office building or something like that and like jumps off, or breaks into like gets access to the roof of something and like will jump off, and they'll have to like close off the whole main street. Yeah, I feel like it's happened twice since I've, in the 6 years I've been working there that I know of. It could have happened more, but it's definitely happened twice, and one of them I saw. So
that's, you saw them,
that's
jump
the
off?
One dead body. No, I just saw the dead body. I just saw the body there.
Well, that's not much better.
It's not. It's, I mean, it is a little better.
Oh, Marcus.
That's okay, that's the exciting life I live here in New York City.
So the crunching could have been the wind is what we're saying.
The crunching was also the wind. When in doubt, blame the wind.
That's the new shirt. Could have been the wind. Okay.
There's like, so, we have some good shirts. I want the Florida shirts, man shirt that we came up with, some weird design of the cryptid that is Florida man. I want Swamp Squatch.
Swamp Squatch.
And I want the wind, blame it on the wind.
Blame it on the wind. Very good. You ready for me to bless your ears?
I'm ready.
I got
this
stuff for you.
Bless my ears holes.
This is... Oh, this is from Redditor Seashell Bob. Yesterday, who knows when that was, by the way. Yesterday, I was hiking in New Hampshire, and as me and my group were descending, we passed a family with a dog. We were in a groove, so we just continued to pass them as they were standing off to the side of the trail. But as we walked by, they appeared to be holding hands around the dog in a prayer circle. I heard the assuming father say, "Lord, please do not let this dog kill again. I have no idea what was up with this dog."
That is the best. Before you continue, I gotta say, that is the absolute best. If you want someone to back up away from you, just whoever you are with, whatever animal you're with, just say please out loud. Say, "Please, Lord, don't let that Tommy kill again." It's so perfect. I'm going to do that.
So good.
If there's a crazy good, person, dude. I'm walking with my kid, I'm like, "No, don't let Tommy kill again, please."
Oh, that's so good. God. So, I mean, obviously this leads to a lot of questions. Yeah, I mean, so the easiest thing you could say is, oh yeah, they're just trying to like get the group to leave them alone, or
sure,
or this was like premeditated, they're just trying to freak people out. But okay, let's just say that this was a genuine attempt to purge the dog of any need to take another life, whatever that means or looks like. Did it eat a squirrel? Did it come up against a swamp squatch of its own? I mean, you know, was it a human being? What's the vibe?
That dog killed a grown man. Okay. That dog snuck into a man's home and murdered him with a knife. That dog murdered a person, okay? And it's violent.
Bloody paws. Bloody paws.
What do you do? I mean,
I don't know. Good, keep walking.
Good for him that he didn't put the dog down, I guess. But like, Jesus Christ, they still might have done that later.
Really quick, another short one here. This is from Redditor Koozie, 2 U's, by the way. Mm-hmm. I woke up to a bear licking my face. I screamed. He screamed. We parted ways mutually.
Another poem. You're very poetic today.
I'm not poetic. I also want to know, he said, I screamed, he screamed. What does the bear scream? What is that? Does he scream like a human being? Or does he like growl?
I am picturing Yogi the Bear.
Wow.
Screaming. Wow. And panicked. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And then running away.
So is this bear wearing a top hat as well? And like
a bow tie? Hell yeah.
Oh, it's not a bow tie. It's an actual tie, isn't it?
It's an actual tie, yeah. Long neck, baby. Long neck tie.
He starts forest fires. You got anything? What's on your plate?
Yogi Bear starts forest fires? That's...
I don't know.
That's aggressive. That's an aggressive accusation. I'm sorry. Allegedly. Please. I do not want to be sued for slander. Allegedly, Yogi Bear causes fires.
I'm throwing you under the bus, man. You're going down. No.
Okay. Let's see. I got 14 camping horror stories that'll make you want to book a hotel.
Oh, wow.
This is what I want people to get from this episode. Don't go camping. The outdoors is bad. Stay inside forever.
I love it. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too, buddy.
Love you, man. We're going to make those t-shirts.
Okay. I woke up somewhere in the middle of the woods. This happened to me when I was little. I went camping with my older brother and my mom. I was about 7 or 8, and I went to bed around 10 in a sleeping bag inside my tent with both my mom and brother. Sometime during the night, I don't know when, I woke up somewhere in the middle of the woods, still in my sleeping bag. I had no idea where I was or where my tent was. I screamed for my mom, and I heard her calling back for me in panic, but she was easily 100 yards or so away. To this day, I have no idea how I ended up in the middle of the woods, still inside my sleeping bag.
That's kind of, I think that makes the list singular of worst case scenarios. That's some Blair Witch stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Did he say if he was standing up or not? I don't know, but just waking up in the middle of the woods when it's nighttime, I just, you know, it's not ideal, I guess.
It's not.
That's my observation.
So on this list, I also have, I'm looking at a list. It might be the same list you have, but I have one. I saw the dog article you just read. Do not let this dog kill a kid. But I think, man, having a sleepwalking disorder of some kind or whatever,
right?
Like, right. And being in the woods is so mm-mm. terrifying, man. Mm-mm. It's a scary, scary mm-mm. thing. Mm-hmm. Because you just want to, I don't know, you don't want to die. You don't wanna, you like, don't want to, like, walk a cliff in the middle of your sleep. It's all scary. It's too scary to think about. I want to sleep nowhere near the edge of a cliff of any kind. I want to sleep peacefully in a bed, if possible. And I want to go, I want to glamp. I can glamp. I don't know if I could camp.
I support you in your glamping.
Thank you. Thank Good. You. I appreciate it.
Of course. Me? You?
You can go with more.
I don't have to. I'm not trying to. I'm just.
I've got this list of 14 articles, of 14 okay. stories that are all short. So you can go. We can see how we're doing with time, but I want you to, I want you to get all your stories out.
Yeah. So we might come across some of the same ones, but I think there's a few of them that dare demand our time and attention. So this one's pretty good. This one's pretty good. You may have seen it, maybe you haven't, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway.
Tell it to me.
It to you anyway. I was camping in Sylvania Wilderness area in the up of Michigan.
Up Sylvania?
The campsite I was at was on a lake and only accessible by canoe. The first night at the campsite, I was sitting at my fire in the dark. I was just thinking about heading to my tent to sleep when I look up and see an orb of light floating in the woods behind my tent. It looked about a foot in diameter of white light and gave off a very light light. Oh, very little light. I apologize. It moved slowly and steadily through the forest and eventually disappeared behind a tree. I was pretty disturbed by this unexplainable orb of light and decided not to go to my tent for a few more hours. It was an unsettling night. It looked like one of those will-o'-the-wisps from folklore and legends.
Weird.
How do you feel about orbs of light?
Orbs of light are a common phenomena in
I'm a fan.
The paranormal world. And I think if it happened on rarer occasions, I might be like, okay, it's just like a one-off, whatever. But it happens so frequently that there must be some truth to it. I think aliens scout out.
Big fan of scouts.
Some things. You know what I mean? I think they're looking out, and then they're seeing, like, you know what? That one smells too bad.
That one who?
Am I going to take it? Yeah, the human.
Who's he talking about? Me or you?
No, not us. Jesus. Oh, I just meant, like, campers in general. Sorry, neither one of us camps, really. So we're not smelly.
You glamp, but I support it.
I glamp. There's a shower. It's fine. We're all good.
It's the best. Good stuff.
I like it. I am still too scared. I'll be honest. I am too scared to camp in the woods. I want to really badly, but I would like it if it was a group trip or if...
There's safety in numbers.
There's safety in numbers or like someone who knows what they're doing.
But also maybe not safety in numbers. Well, and let me follow that up really quick, because you say that maybe you would camp again, but if there's safety in numbers. But then you come across tales like this.
I was
hiking through the remnants of a remote, long abandoned town and the surrounding area. To get to as far into the woods as I was, you had to cross fallen trees over a creek 3 times. I had just crossed the third bridge and was about 5 miles in when something blue caught my eye just ahead of me. There was a man, in his 60s at least, wearing blue satin pajamas, sitting in a tree. The closer I got to him, the louder he laughed. It wasn't a maniacal laugh, but it set off all the alarms in my head, nevertheless. He also wasn't wearing any shoes, and he looked well-groomed and cleaned. I gave him a friendly nod as I passed, and he just kept laughing. Then it stopped. I turned around and he was gone. There was no branch cracking, plants rustling, nothing. He was just gone. Still rubs me the wrong way. The area I was in was a pretty rough hike, very secluded. Not very many people venture as deep as I was that day. No idea what was going on there.
Oh no, that's so regardless creepy.
If you have a group of people or not, seeing the lonely man laughing in the tree in pajamas is not a lovely sight.
If I could write music, I would write a song about the lonely man laughing in the woods. There's something
that's terrifying
and oddly poetic about it.
Wow. Interesting. Should we write the bridge right now?
I mean, you're the musically talented one.
It's so happens what, sometimes.
Do you have a hook for the song?
Okay, here it goes. Lonely man sitting in a tree laughing away.
That was beautiful.
Okay? Yeah. Did you like that, buddy?
I loved it. That was pretty good.
Thank you. Wow. Goodness. All right. That's enough of the podcast. Let's end on a high note.
Hold on. We need to pad the time. I like cheese. I like chicken nuggets.
Oh, what the heck? What just happened? That was wild. I think you just had a stroke.
Sorry, I was just trying to pad time. Panicking. No, okay. I have this one. I haven't read it, but it's called Hundreds of Rats, so I do want to read it live on the air.
Good. Do it. You must.
As soon as it got dark, and I was falling asleep, my tent became covered with hundreds of rats. They were everywhere, climbing up my ropes and over. No! Rats are disgusting.
Ugh. Did he say ropes or robes?
Ropes. Okay. And over the top of the tent, I shook as many as I could off and started a fire and stayed up late all night hoping they wouldn't return. They seemed to be gone, so the next night I stayed in the same place thinking they had moved on to another dump or something. But no, again, as it got dark, they all returned bringing some of their friends. As it seemed, there was more than ever now.
Some of their rat friends?
I again shook them off the tent and got a fire going. When the morning came, I packed up my tent and headed for a new place, far from those rats. As I was walking down the highway, wondering if I should return to another camping spot where I had been previously, there on the highway near that place was a dead 11-foot alligator, which had crawled out from the mangroves only a few feet from where I had been camping a few weeks previously. I decided my Florida camping adventure had gone on long enough and head back home. Don't camp in Florida! If you need a sign, if you need some kind of message from on high, this is it. Don't camp in Florida. There's gators and rats, and the rats eat the gators. That's what I got from that story. The rats ate that gator.
Rats, gator, swamp squatch. I feel as though that was still a way too casual storytelling that we got. That is more or less about a man attempting to live off of the land, but was being harassed by a group of rodents.
If that happened to me, Josh,
and dude, you would die, brother. You would
100%,
die.
100%. 100%. With 100% sincerity, I can say I would have died. Like,
you would have.
I would have ran into a tree and been passed out and then been eaten alive by rats. I would have fallen off a cliff trying to escape the rats. I would have died in that situation. There is no way I would have made it out alive.
I'm glad you don't camp. You glamp.
I'm glamping all day and not in Florida. Fuck Florida. Sorry if you're listening and you live in Florida. Statistically, okay. No one from Florida is listening to our podcast.
That's all right. Give it time.
I look at the numbers.
You give it time. I'm going to Florida next week. I'll put a sticker there or something.
Yeah. Promote the podcast, Florida. Sorry, I take it back, Florida. We love you. Listen to our podcast.
I like beaches. Listen to this. I used to metal detect way back in the day and was constantly in the woods. This one time, I'm doing my thing in the woods and come across some odd items. Nylon rope, a pair of used pantyhose, and a pair of shoes. Now that I think back about it, I'm wondering if I stumbled upon a possible crime scene.
Oh, no.
A possible crime scene? Listen, whenever there's pantyhose involved, something ain't right.
You stumbled upon a murder, sir.
A murder, sir? I was really excited to share this one. I shared it with my wife a little bit ago, and we were a little bit on a separate page when I said it. But okay, this is from Redditor. I only sometimes gather their names, but Redditor Homeless Homie.
Okay.
I saw a human thumb nailed to a tree.
Oh my goodness. Still not worse than the rats.
Well, okay. I think it depends on the kind of day you're having, really.
If I saw a human thumb nailed to a tree, I know that I need to get out, but that I probably have time to get
for
out.
What? Time for time? Oh, okay.
To escape. Time I have time escape? To escape. No, okay. If I see a human thumb in the woods, I'm backtracking my steps. I know that's a warning sign from someone to not go further. So I'm... Yeah. Going back.
You're moonwalking.
Moonwalking the fuck out of there. I'm hitting the reverse Uno card and I'm going back.
Wow.
Going back to my car. I'm leaving. I'm going home. I don't care what time of night it is. I don't give a shit. I'm going back home. But rats, they're there. You know, like it's the murderer, the scary thing is there in front of you and you have to deal with it. The thumb on the tree is just a warning. That's fine. If the rats gave me a warning and I could like reverse out of there, I would do that.
I'm wondering if the thumb, if there's like a 5-second rule to the thumb warning, like as soon as you as soon as you see the thumb, you have 5 seconds to hightail it out of there, regardless of how you're feeling.
The man who put the thumb there is watching in the woods, and he's like, "Okay, I'm starting the timer now. They have one minute. If they don't leave, I'm going to take their thumbs next."
Yeah, man, your thumb is next. Dude, keep your thumbs to yourself. That's the moral of the story. You got another one?
This one is called, I didn't read this one, but a woman with bloody clothing.
Uh-oh.
One of my college professors told us his story. He was camping in the Cordillera Mountains.
Excuse you?
And had his own tent. He woke up in the middle of the night to find a woman with unkempt hair and torn and bloody clothing crawling on all fours towards him. He screamed and woke up. It was a dream. When his friends rushed to his tent to see what was the matter, he told them about his dream, and a few of them became visibly uncomfortable. With all the color draining from their faces, they insisted that they leave camp as soon as the sun came up. It was only after they had left the mountains that his friend told him that several of them had shared similar dreams. Except in their dreams, they saw a woman crawling into my professor's tent.
I'd like to offer an observation. Not an observation, just a thought. My thought is that regardless of how well or unwell the person is looking or is kept, regardless, if anyone is crawling towards you on all fours, that's a sign that the 5-second thumb roll has begun and you need to hightail it out of there.
That's a sign that your time is up and you need to go. Someone is coming for your thumbs.
Yeah, if they're wearing a 5-piece suit, doesn't matter. They're on all fours. You need to remove yourself from the situation.
Who is out there taking people's thumbs? We need to find out.
Dude, you gotta keep your thumbs, man.
You know what's a fun prank? I'm gonna
de-thumbing someone?
I'm going to take fake thumbs and I'm going to nail them to trees in the woods. And I think that'll be funny.
I don't recommend that.
I have to find realistic thumbs. If I can find realistic thumbs, I'll do it. Guys, mail me your thumbs.
Oh, okay. All right. Here, hang on. Okay. All right. Don't mail in human remains. So I was in some sort of no man's land between two nature reserves. They each had well-maintained trail systems. They're hiking. And this was sort of an unofficial cut-through that wasn't particularly well-known and significantly more difficult than any of the trails it connected. Anyway, I saw a bit of color poking out of some leaves, maybe 10 yards off to the side. Curiosity got the best of me, so I went to check it out. And that's how I discovered human remains. I don't mess with the police, so I call the ranger station for a payphone. This was ages ago.
Love that.
There was a better chance that they'd be aware of the area in question anyway. Found out a while later from a friend with a relevant job that the body turned out to be a woman who had been slain by her ex, which is sadly the least surprising outcome I can think of. That's kind of insensitive. What are you expecting? Missing thumbs? Swamp squatch? Rats? Is one dead body not enough for this Redditor?
I know, right? It's not enough dead bodies. Too predictable.
Not enough rodents.
Oh, man. Well, on that note.
Oh, no, what?
On the dead body note. No, that's all the stories I have. I don't know if you have more. We're at the time limit. I don't know if you want to keep going or if you want to.
Okay, I don't know.
If you have a really good one to end it on, then do that one. Then I think the dead body is good.
Oh no. Okay.
You let me know.
Okay, I have two that I feel like you personally would really enjoy.
Okay, let's do them.
Maybe I'll just read them to you off the air. I'll call you when you're going to bed. I'll share it with you, and then I'll sing you to sleep. Or do you want me to say them now?
You're teasing it. Do one of them. Okay. Do one of them.
Okay. All right. Oh no. Oh, which one? Which one? No. Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, I got to call Brandon. Okay. My scariest wilderness encounter was at about 2 a.m. while maintaining fire line on a 300-acre fire caused by a lightning strike. I needed to take a pee, and the rule is you don't urinate on the fire. So he's a fireman. He's putting out a forest fire. Mm-hmm. So I walked over towards a stump outside the fire line. I was about 50 feet away from the stump when it walked away. It was a black bear. So he almost peed on a black bear.
How do you confuse a black bear and a stump?
This man was fighting fires. His brain was probably in 1,000 different places.
I'm so stump, sorry.
Discernment probably was not at the top of his list.
Respect to all firefighters.
Amen.
Never forget.
Don't pee on bears.
Don't pee on bears.
Don't pee on bears. All right. Is that it? You feeling good? You feel good about
peeing on bears? I feel great. You know what, guys? You feel good? Guys listening at home, thank you for joining us. Thank you for staying this long.
I bet you don't regret talking about camping now. I bet you your eyes have been opened. A lot of weird stuff happens and you're not rolling your eyes at me anymore.
That's very presumptuous of you. Just because you can see me doesn't mean I'm rolling my eyes internally.
That hurts.
No, I don't know. Love again. I had fun. I always have fun on this podcast. And I hope our listeners had fun too.
Good. Good. Well, listen, we're on the social medias. You can come hang out. Social media is a weird place, but we're there anyway. We're on the Facebooks. We're on the Twitters. We're on the Instagram. I wanted to talk about Instagram later. Like, do we like play a game at virtual tic-tac-toe? Do we put our faces up? I don't know. Have more fun. Anyway, all those places at Weirdzilla Podcast, I believe. That's where we're
at. Yes. Hell follow yeah. Us there.
Listen, if you're on the Apples, drop us a line, haiku review, 4.5 stars, you know, maybe 0.
5 stars.
Oh,
don't give them the options.
I need more confidence. I'm sorry.
No,
I apologize.
Stop it.
I apologize.
No. 5 stars only. Don't invite them to give us 4.5 stars.
I'm sorry. All right. And also, I came from inside the house. You must email and show your weird stories so that I can share them with Marcus and he can say, that was too long. That was a Word document.
Please give us better stories than I was hit on by a real estate agent.
Oh, I thought it was fun. I think being hit on is an awkward experience. Listen.
But we're not Awkwardzilla.
You. Okay. If you want to camp with Weirdzilla, you must be on your game because
Swamp Squatch is coming to your home again. Nailed it.